Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Gorky, Russia, the first man in by Don Zeeble, Ph.D., is a fascinating and inspiring story. Russians needed internal visas to travel outside their place of residence. It was rare for foreigners to get such travel permission. Well, after 30 years of corporate employment, Dr. Zeeble made an improbable career change. His new boss and two VPs were blacklisted by the KGB and could not enter Russia. And he was asked to write a business seminar proposal for Russia to see if he could open a door and get in. Well, one of the three Russians who received the proposal got approval 9 months later by Moscow's Ministry of Education and the KGB. Surprisingly, the seminars were designed to be held in Gorky, an exile city for political prisoners and closed to foreigners. The Russian embassy in Washington, D.C. and the officials in Moscow would not issue a travel visa for the travel there. So Dr. Zeeble took the chance to be driven 250 miles to Gorky without a visa. The Russians in the city had never seen an American before. The seminar was attended by 60 top industrial personnel, including some suspected to be KGB. His memoir is filled with the events, pictures, and entertaining cross-cultural experiences from his time inside Russia. Readers will follow the many twists, turns, and surprises that he encountered. Gorky was not open to foreigners until the year after all these events took place. Dr. Zeeble is a retired metallurgical engineer who spent decades in industry before retiring in 2004. He obtained a Bachelor of Science in Metallurgical Engineering, Master of Business Administration in Finance and Marketing with distinction, and a Doctor of Philosophy in Cross-Cultural Management. He's also an accomplished artist. Don Zeeble, Ph.D., author of Gorky, Russia, First Man In, Memoirs from Being the First American Allowed Inside Russia's Closed Exile City, is our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Zeeble, welcome to the program. What a great story. I'm looking forward to having you with us today.
It looks like you've been really reading my book. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's a fascinating story, and I can't wait to get into this. So let's start with what impressed you about Gorky and Russia in general. What were your first impressions as you entered Russia and drove to Gorky?
Well, I think the age of the country, you know, the Russians' history was already over 2,000 years. And so you're dealing with a lot of structures and buildings and things from their time period. And the people were very clustered and not exposed to the outside world, it seemed like, because of the security and their presence in Gorky. So it was an interesting experience.
The book is Gorky, Russia, First Man In. The author is our guest, Don Zeeble. That's Z-I-E-B-E-L-L, Ph.D. The book is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places. Link onto his Amazon page by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talking about some of the experiences, and you share these in the book. The book is a fascinating read. How did you react to consuming vodka during your meals? What was that like?
Well, anyway, they give you a small glass, and I was sipping it very slowly. And the Russians finally said, do you like the vodka? And I said, no, I don't drink alcohol. Well, what is your fuel? And I said, my fuel is Pepsi. And they said, oh, that's wonderful. We have the director of the Pepsi-Cola company in our seminar, and you will have Pepsi's for the rest of your stay. That was my vodka experience.
Well, that was a touch of home, and I'm sure that was welcome when you could get the Pepsi instead of the vodka with your meals. What was it
exactly
like for you in the city? I mentioned that people had never seen an American before. This really was unprecedented at the time. How did you spend your spare time in Gorky, and could you spend time looking around the city?
Oh, yes. I could walk around the city. And I was invited to the bank to speak to the people there. They were kind of shocked about us writing checks because they never had checks. And so that was a kind of an interesting experience with the banking people. But it was just a very peaceful place to walk. And, you know, I could nose around and nobody bothered me.
You didn't have to look over your shoulder for KJB. It wasn't like they were following you.
Well, maybe. I don't know how they do it because they probably keep their cover anyway. So I wasn't worried.
Well, it's such a fascinating story that unfolds so many levels to Dr. Zibel's book, Gorky Russia, First Man In, Memoirs from Being the First American Allowed Inside Russia's Closed Exile City, book available wherever books are sold. Let's talk about one aspect of the trip there. Did you make any contact with Christians? And if so, what were your experiences like?
Well, that is a very good answer. Dr. Komakoff said, is there anything I can do for you? And I said, yes, I would like to meet with a Christian church. And so he said, well, I think he was Orthodox. And he says, I think I remember one around. So he came a day later and he says, I have a church. And so on Sunday, we walked into the back yard of the church. And it's got high fences all around. And he announced, I have an American here. He wants to see the pastor. And so that kind of caused a stir. So anyway, I was introduced to Pastor Vasily. And I had a book, a Christian book, and I gave it to him. Well, then he started to ask me questions about my faith. And so I explained, you know, what I believed and everything. And then he invited me to lunch after the sermon. I mean, he asked me to greet the congregation, and they all stood up, and I gave them greetings from America, and they all bowed it from the waist and then sat back down. But then I was at the luncheon afterwards, and he quizzed me a lot. And so after quite a bit of questioning and answers, he asked me to preach the following Sunday, and I did that. So anyway, we were bringing in Bibles and Christian literature, and it was a big deal.
Was there any concern? Was the Russian government aware of what you were doing? Did they present roadblocks for you in bringing in Bibles and Christian literature?
No, I have no idea about that. I don't think there was any concern. In fact, on Monday, Tuesday, I was talking to the people, men and women, and then I said, now tomorrow I'm going to bring a Bible and give you all a Bible. And I thought, oh, how's this going to work? So we arrived on Wednesday morning, and everybody was lined up in the hallway like children.
Amazing.
And I gave them all a Bible. And then the next day, I got reports from different men that said, my wife saw it, and she started to cry. She had never seen a Bible. She's reading it now. And another person, a woman who was two of them together, they said, well, she saw a Bible once when she was 12 years old, and none since. And so now we have our own Bible. And they were very thankful, very thankful.
You know, it's interesting, the hunger, obviously, the people had there for religious information, and you were able to satisfy that with those people you were dealing with. What was that like to see their overwhelming interest in religious information, the Bible, and your ability to give it to them? What did that feel like from your standpoint?
Well, it felt very good. The interesting thing is, each month a different man went in with the literature, and he talked to the people on the business seminar. Anyway, I didn't realize this until it was all over, but the fifth man that went in was my pastor, and he talked to Pastor Vasily, And Vasily told him something I did not know. He said, I had a dream in July, about walking on a trail, and I came to a chest. And God said, open it. And he opened it, and he says, what is it? He says, it's gold. And that happened four times down the trail. And the fifth time he came to the chest, he said, what is it? He says, open it up. And he opened it up. He says, what is it? And God said, it's gold. I'm sending it to you. And here we come, getting about 3 weeks later I came in, and I started to deliver this gold. And it was really a wonderful thing. Now, what happened at the end of Pastor Wharton's visit, number five, Pastor gave him five Huklaba bowls. Now, Huklaba is a Russian craft where they paint on wooden bowls. And the inside of the first four bowls were black, and the fifth bowl was gold. And it symbolized what he had experienced with God and with us delivering this stuff.
What an amazing story. That story and so many more told in Gorky, Russia, first man in memoirs from being the first American allowed inside Russia's closed exile city by Don, that's D-O-N-N-G, Ziebel, Ziebell, Ph.D. Book is available wherever books are sold. Of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. What was it like being an American there? As I mentioned, first time they had seen an American. What kind of information did they want from you? Did they have any idea what society was like in America? What questions were they asking you?
No, they weren't asking many questions. I did have an invite to an apartment of one of the translators, and he had another couple there with their wives. And they have always books on display in their living room. And I noticed that they had Mark Twain. And they said to me, do you read Mark Twain? And I said, oh, yeah, we love his stories and everything. And the fellow said, I knew it. I knew that was propaganda. And you were reading it all the time. We were thinking it was propaganda. So, but they're very literate, and they had another book by an American author who I did not recognize, and I didn't admit to it. And so when I came home and I walked in the door, I said, Gene, do you know so-and-so and so-and-so? No. And we got out our common book on authors.
Yes.
And there he was. And he wrote about United States during the Dust Bowl days. And so that was giving the Russians the view that we were really in a terrible situation ourselves. And so that was an interesting discovery.
A fascinating, yes, to hear that. And that is the one that they are able to read about what life is like in the United States. With a background in manufacturing, what was it like seeing their manufacturing industries there? What did you learn about their manufacturing businesses?
Well, my first visit was to a shoe factory, and they had the conveyor belts running the speed of light, like you could take an airplane and launch it off an aircraft carrier.
Wow.
But there was no shoes and no people. And what was going on, it was in the afternoon, and I learned that the people are out shopping. They are waiting in lines for food and that. And so they work in the morning, and they leave in the afternoon. And so, and then he said, I was talking about shoes. And he says, well, now we got a leather shortage, and we can't make leather shoes, but we can make cloth slippers. And one pair of cloth slippers is equal to making a pair of leather shoes. And so that was a strange experience that they were working that way with their economy.
Were there other strange situations that you saw during the time there that really even surprised you?
Well, our professor Kamakoff said, there's a gentleman that wants to do business with Zeebell Associates, and he says he wants to invite you to his office. And so my translator and I went to his office, and they showed us in, and we sat on a couch with the legs cut off. And beautiful women, and he's known for hiring only beauty queens, beautiful women in short skirts walking past us, and all we see is these beautiful legs going back and forth. Well, we left, but he says, I want you to come to lunch today. And so I went to lunch, and we were sat with a beautiful brunette across from me with blue eyes, beautiful blue eyes, and next to me a blonde, and then my translator next to her. And I was looking at the girl, and all of a sudden, her eyes turned evil. And I said, uh-oh, something's going on here. And I stopped, and I never looked at her again. And when we left, I said to Mike, the translator, there was something going on there. He says, yes, the blonde was sitting next to me rubbing her leg up and down my leg. And so... There was a sexual trap that we were not falling into. So that was kind of an amazing experience.
What great stories they all unfold in Dr. Zeebell's book, Gorky, Russia, First Man In. What happened that made the Russians believe the U.S. had a shortage of socks? How did that all come about?
Well, you know, sometimes guys want to be great and cool, and they'll walk around in loafers without any socks. And one of my instructors went in without socks, and they thought that the American economy has a deficit of socks, and that was proven by another associate who used the train to go back to Moscow and home. And while he was sleeping on the night train, they stole his socks.
Just great stories that come to life. And Dr. Zeebell actually lived through all of these. And lived through these. This is interesting, because were there times there that you had fear? I mentioned you took the chance to be driven 250 miles to Gorky without a visa. Going to Gorky, nobody goes to Gorky. You're going there, you don't have a visa. Were there times when you were concerned about your safety?
No, I wasn't. And maybe I was too naive or something, but we were going down the road, and their roads aren't real terrific. And they said, you know, when we travel, we have a kind of a social rule that if you need to stop at somebody's house, you can stop and have tea or something like that. And would you like to stop? And I said, yes. So they pulled over into a small house and knocked on the door. And they said, we'd like to come in. We have an American. Well, my goodness, I was invited in. And they were translating the conversation, what we're talking. And then they asked, would you like some tea? And I said, oh, yes. And so they brought a huge mug of tea, and I had to go to the bathroom very badly. And I used their outhouse, which was hanging off the back of one of the rooms. So it was in the outside, but you had access to it through the inside. But anyway, I gave them some Christian books before I left. And I'm sure the whole neighborhood read those books.
Oh, yes. A couple minutes left. It's interesting, and you're talking about the interaction with the people. What are the people like there? What were they like in Gorky when you were visiting? And any surprises, the way they reacted and their interest?
No, one lady invited me and my translator to their house, her house, and it was, you know, arranged. She had a telephone, which meant that she was somebody special, too, because not many have a telephone. And she invited neighbors about another man and a woman. And so we sat and we had refreshment and cookies. And then they would break out and sing. And they would sing their heart out. And then they would stop and they'd start talking again and ask more questions about my life, my family, and this and that. And then they would sing again. And so anyway, Mike, my translator, says, well, we're sorry, we're going to have to leave. And they say, oh, you know, this is getting around 9:30 in the evening. And so he called on her phone and ordered a cab. Well, the cab said they'd be there shortly, and it wasn't. And he called again, and they said, no, go outside and wave down a cab. And so we went outside and started walking. We didn't see anybody. It was quiet outside. He said, everybody's watching a TV program on television that has got a lot of attention. And so we walked all the way to my hotel.
Jeez, just an amazing, so many stories like that. The book is a fascinating read. You pick it up and you won't want to put it down, understanding what Dr. Zibel went through in life in Gorky, Russia. The book is Gorky, Russia, First Man In, Memoirs from Being the First American Allowed Inside Russia's Closed Exile City. I talked about the doctor's background here in the United States at manufacturing. I'm reading information on you. In 1983, you came to the rescue of Keebler Company and their cookies. Do you remember that story? Could you share that with us?
Oh, yes. Right. Well, I kept on making calls to talk to somebody. And finally, the vice president of manufacturing called and said, Don, you've been very nice to come repeatedly. You haven't met me. He said, I want you to come in tomorrow. So I went in tomorrow, and he says, I have two problems in manufacturing. One is a personnel problem, but I can't tell you what it is. And the second one is a manufacturing problem, but I can't tell you what it is. I would like you to write a proposal for me and have it in my hands tomorrow, because I have a meeting tomorrow. So I came in with a paper saying I'm going to solve your problems, and I have no idea what they are. and anyway, he had a meeting, and I didn't hear from him for about 3 weeks, and then he called me and he said, Don, I want you to meet our vice president of engineering. And when I came in and talked to him, I knew it was a go. And what we did is we had to invent a system that would weigh 120 cookies a minute. That's one row coming out of an oven with about nine rows across. Every cookie, one a minute. And so we put together a manufacturing line of equipment that would measure, weigh every cookie, and the cookie would go to one or two locations so that they would have bag weights near the max.
Yes.
And so we did that, and we put it in their Atlanta bakery, but there was something in the air that was not right, and that we couldn't understand why. Our system was working well, but there was something odd. So anyway, we left, and we found out what happened is the Keebler Company went from soft batch cookies, no, to home baked cookies. We were doing home baked cookies,
yes,
irregular shape, and they were adopting soft batch. So soft batch killed my project and invention.
What an amazing! I love that, a little behind the scenes of the manufacturing business and what Dr. Zeebo went through in his career. And unfortunately, we're out of time. Didn't even touch on the amazing art career that the doctor has had. This book is so well done, receiving rave reviews. Gorky, Russia, First Man In: Memoirs from Being the First American Allowed Inside Russia's Closed Exile City. The author is our guest, Don, D-O-N-N-G, Ziebell, Z-I-E-B-E-L-L, Ph.D. The book is available at Amazon, all of the usual places, information on our website. Dr. Ziebell, thank you for joining us on the program. Loved having you here and reading the book and having a chance to talk about some of those experiences.
Okay, let me just add one more thing.
Sure.
Think of 700 split rails for 1 yard of cloth. That's the title of my Lincoln Presidential Library painting. And so they can look that up.
That is, boy, we need to do a program and just focus on the art that you've done and where it's on display.
Yeah.
And how many lives that touches as well. Doctor, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Our guest, Don Ziebell, Z-I-E-B-E-L-L, author of the book, Gorky, Russia, First Man In. You'll find the book available at Amazon. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program, right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.